Welcome to Progressive Spirit at the intersection of spirituality, truth, goodness, and justice. I'm John Schuck. My website is johnschuck.com, J-O-H-N-S-H-U-C-K.com, johnschuck.com. Go there to find links to podcasts, my video channel, writings, social media pages, and so forth. I'm recording this program on Thursday, May 14th, 2020. My guest is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Dr. Chuck Baldwin is pastor of Liberty Fellowship Church in Kalispell, Montana. He has an extensive biography that you can find on the church's website, libertyfellowshipmt.com. I started following Pastor Baldwin on Facebook last year when another Facebook friend told me that Pastor Baldwin had talked about things like the 9/11 deception and other crimes against humanity. And the church's bookstore even has Christopher Bolin's book, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East, for sale. Pastor Baldwin has spoken out about the dangers of Zionism and Christian Zionism. And then when this whole COVID thing started, I saw a presentation by Dr. Annie Bukacek that she gave at Liberty Fellowship, challenging the way COVID-19 has been exaggerated on death certificates. And then I saw another presentation also at the church by Ronald Kukul, USS Liberty survivor. So I had Ron Kukul on my program. In fact, I just had that podcast yesterday. Ron Kukul is co-author of the 2017 book, Remember the Liberty, Almost Sunk by Treason on the High Seas, and that book also available at the Liberty Fellowship Church website, libertyfellowshipmt.com. And I wish to speak today to the pastor of this interesting church, Dr. Chuck Baldwin, really about this COVID operation, PSYOP, movie, whatever we're going to call it. In my opinion, it's not about a virus. It's about something else. And I wish to get Dr. Chuck Baldwin's insights about that. Welcome, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, to Progressive Spirit.
Well, thank you, John. It's great to be with you.
As I mentioned, I've had two previous interviews with people connected to your congregation who have given presentations at your church, Dr. Annie Bukacek regarding the COVID death certificates, and Ronald Kukul, a USS Liberty survivor. If those two are representative of the spirit of your congregation, then you have a church of people who aren't afraid to separate truth from falsehood and speak out about it. Can you tell us a little bit about your congregation, Liberty Fellowship? What's your theology, where you meet? Anything else about your congregation we should know?
Well, I think your analysis of the congregation was right on. We have a congregation of very awake and courageous people who value liberty the way Americans used to value liberty, and who have a strong sense of conviction relative to the principles of our founding documents and the scriptural principles of liberty, of course, that, upon which they're founded. We meet in the Hilton Garden Inn Conference Center every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock local time, which would be Mountain time. And we also live stream our service shortly after we go, probably 2:15 to 2:30, somewhere in that time frame. We connect to the Internet and we live stream to tens of thousands of people, not only in America but around the world. In fact, we have a large number of people in Palestine that watch us, as well as in parts of Northern Africa, Eastern Europe, and around the Middle Eastern region, as well as in Canada and Great Britain and Australia and New Zealand and places like that, as you would imagine. We have a large following of people across the United States as well. In fact, we have scores of satellite fellowships around the country and around the world. These are people that are faithful viewers of Liberty Fellowship, our service every Sunday afternoon, and they host like-minded individuals in their homes or small community gatherings and watch the fellowship together. So we have all that on our webpage that you've already given out, libertyfellowshipmt.com, and you can find the various groups around the country and around the world, and maybe people that are listening might find a group near them that they could find a like-minded individual to fellowship with. We are non-denominational, but we believe very much in the Word of God. We believe it's literally true. We preach the virgin birth of Christ, His sinless death, His vicarious death, His bodily resurrection. We preach salvation by grace through faith. We preach that the fundamental elements of the Bible are indeed applicable and literal for Christians today. That's just a real brief synopsis of Liberty Fellowship.
Well, when I recorded the interview with Dr. Annie Bukacek, it was Easter Sunday, and she had just come from the worship service. Are you still meeting physically for worship? Have you adjusted anything because of this lockdown?
Oh, yes, we're meeting. We never stop meeting.
Well, that's good. And did you have to adjust anything for this? Or
we did at the very beginning in March when this first hit. We asked our smaller children and the elderly and anybody who might be vulnerable to an infection to stay home. So we did that for a couple of weeks, but we kept the service going, and we had in-house service, and we didn't miss a beat.
Are there other churches that you know of in the Kalispell area or Montana at all who are still meeting?
You know, this is to me the most tragic part of this whole sordid mess is the capitulation of pastors and churches to this lockdown spirit that swept the country real quickly. I don't know of any other churches in the Flathead Valley here in Montana where we live that kept meeting as we did. You know, so we're talking about 2 months now. This started in the middle of March, so that would be approximately at least 8 Sundays. And I don't know of any other, I could be mistaken. I may have missed one. You know how that can be. But I don't know of any that kept on meeting. And there's a few that have started meeting again now. The governor of our state was one who unfortunately put Montana in lockdown, like, you know, what was it, 43, I think, of their other states did likewise. But the lockdown was not near as egregious as it was in states like Illinois, New York, and California, and Washington, and things of that nature. But it was still a lockdown. And when that happened, in fact, even before it happened, many of the churches had voluntarily closed their doors, which I found absolutely incredible. And there are still some who have not opened, but there are some who are beginning to open. But at this point, they've shown, in my opinion, that they are not an independent, autonomous, liberty-oriented church under the sovereignty of God and operating under the protections of the First Amendment, but they are creatures of the state, and they have voluntarily submitted to the authority of the state over the authority of God. That's my opinion.
Your church is also unique in that you are not a nonprofit, not a 501c3, of course, then, which gives you complete freedom, of course, from the state, from IRS regulations and all of that.
That's correct. We are not. And we do that on purpose for that very reason.
Tell me, what is your opinion regarding this lockdown? Did you expect this? Does this make any sense at all?
I think this is totalitarianism in its embryo here in America. It makes sense if you are a big government zealot and you believe that that government trumps liberty. It makes sense that if you despise the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in particular, and you want to turn America into an Eastern Bloc-style tyrannical state, and I think we have a lot of people in government and outside of government that's exactly what they desire for this country. I think they hate our Constitution, our Declaration, our Bill of Rights. They hate the liberties that we have. They hate the independent spirit that we have and the spirit that government is not God and that we have rights that are antecedent to government and so forth. And so I think these forces have manipulated this virus to take America into a trial run of socialism and totalitarianism. And unfortunately and sadly and tragically, it was largely successful. I mean, the degree to which the nation shut down and businesses closed and churches closed and people lost their jobs and people still walking around the stores with these silly masks on and, you know, this whole social distancing thing and the whole gambit of what is expected of us, I think, shows that far, far too many of the American people are willing to give up their liberty and don't even really understand and appreciate the liberty that we have in this country.
And not only in the United States, I mean, this is a global lockdown.
Sure. But, you know, let's face it, the United States is the last bastion of constitutional republicanism. It's the last bastion of independent liberty. These other states are, for the most part, already totalitarian, depending, you know, it's just a matter of degree. Socialism pervades Europe. Most of the countries around the world are controlled by strong leaders of some sort. None of them have a Declaration of Independence. None of them have a Bill of Rights. None of them have a natural law background, a philosophy in their country. They do not even understand and appreciate the natural laws that we were given by our Creator, much less incorporate those natural laws into government and into our form of government. So these countries already operate on thus saith the state, and, you know, whatever the emergency is, whatever the situation is, the government at large, whatever it is, whoever it is, you know, they dictate to the populace what to do, and the populace, for the most part, just goes along with it. I mean, that's been the case in other parts of the world for many, many decades. America is the last experiment in freedom left. And if we and when we lose our liberties, I mean, really lose our liberties and our constitutional form of government, our Bill of Rights, then in my opinion, the whole world would plunge into a many centuries, dark ages type of phase in world history. So I think it's doubly important that the United States maintain its convictions for the principles of liberty, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the world.
If you're just joining us on Progressive Spirit, my guest is Pastor Chuck Baldwin, pastor of Liberty Fellowship Church, headquartered in Kalispell, Montana. Liberty Fellowship MT is his website. It's been said by some that this COVID operation is a controlled demolition of the economy, with the virus as kind of an excuse, like a patsy, a false flag against nature. What do you think is the agenda behind it, and who's behind it?
No, I think that analysis is pretty much spot on. I think it is. I think it is an agenda, not only to subvert the economic independence of America, but to subvert the freedom and the liberties of our country, and the people that have surrendered to this so easily. And thankfully, the good news is that many of them are beginning to wake up and realize that they were duped, and they're beginning to take a stand and look at, you know, the protests that are going on in California and Michigan and New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and a lot of places where people are rising up against it. But the fact that it happened so easily, so quickly, and so many people lost jobs. Well, 25 million people lost their jobs in the month of April alone, according to the stats I've read. And I think over 35 million total jobs have been lost. And many millions of those jobs are never going to come back. That is a fact, and everybody knows it. It's going to take years and years to recover as far as the economic devastation that has taken place on our country, if we ever do. But I think the greater loss is the loss of liberty, the loss of freedom as defined for us in our Bill of Rights. I mean, this was a blatant abridgment of our First Amendment and many others as well. But when you are told that you cannot assemble, when you are told you no longer have the freedom of worship, when you are told that you no longer have the right to protest and to gather, you, no more than groups of 10, which started with President Trump and then trickled down to all the states, and people accept that, it is a devastating loss to the First Amendment, to the Bill of Rights, and to our constitutional form of government. And it shows, I think, the decades-long lack of education on behalf of our schools, our colleges and universities, our churches, I would include, and yes, our homes. You know, we have not taught these historic values to our boys and girls for decades and decades. It has left a void of understanding of what it means to be free, and to so quickly surrender those fundamental values of freedom, I think just shows the desperate hour that we are in as a nation in terms of the love and understanding of liberty.
It's amazing how quickly you said it, and I see that too. How quickly we just bought in to the manipulation. You know, things like people talking about, you know, the very thing you're just talking about, the right to worship, the right to make a living, the right to assembly, all of these things. And then people say, well, you're just being selfish. I mean,
right?
What?
Yeah. Freedom is not selfish. And, you know, this, you know, every time we get on the highway, we endanger ourselves and others. The, you know, 40,000 plus deaths every single year in the United States via vehicle accidents. The risks of driving an automobile are extremely and always present with us. We never know. Anytime we get by, I mean, things that are beyond our control can happen. When we're behind a vehicle going 60 or 70 miles an hour down a highway, tire can blow out, the deer can run out in front of us. You know, anything can happen that would cause a vehicle to leave its path and hurt or kill people in the car, or hurt and kill people in another vehicle or passengers along the roadways. Life is a risk, and liberty is a risk. And whenever we get the feeling that we are no longer willing to risk liberty, then we are slaves. You know, it was Benjamin Franklin who said that, you know, they who would trade essential liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither. And I think that's the quote of the hour as far as where we are as a nation. Whenever we are willing to say to ourselves and to our communities that our safety is more important than our liberty, then we've lost liberty, and we've already put the chains of tyranny around our necks. So that's what this boils down to. This boils down to, are we willing to accept the risks of freedom as opposed to the security of slavery? And everybody's got to answer that for themselves. You know, Patrick Henry answered it as, for me, give me liberty or give me death. You know, our founding fathers answered that question, and they put their names on that Declaration of Independence, and many of them lost their lives. They lost their homes. Many of them lost their children, their family, their wives. Many of them lost their businesses, their livelihoods. They proved that liberty was more important than safety, and that's the tradition in the history of this country. And when we say that we would rather take the chains of safety over the risks of liberty, then we no longer deserve to be a free nation.
Yeah. Well said. Pastor Chuck Baldwin, Liberty Fellowship Church, my guest on Progressive Spirit. You know, this whole Madison Avenue marketing scamming, that's what it seems to me, that there's a lot of just constant 24/7 propaganda out at us on the screens about what's going on. They've taken the power of healing that we've had together. Churches meet together to heal, and suddenly now all healing is done by these experts, you know, and they tell us what to do, and we've just kind of bought into that.
Yeah, and I think it's even worse than that, because what this is doing, this is you mentioned it earlier at the beginning of the broadcast, a psyops.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what this is. This is a psyops, because when you isolate people from their friends, their neighbors, their fellow workers, their people in their communities, people in their churches, people in their clubs, you know, wherever they congregate, wherever they socialize, etc. When you isolate people from their fellow man, their fellow countrymen, and then you give them the 24/7 propaganda that everyone around you, including all the people that, you know, just a few weeks ago, you consider your friends, and you you know, you went to lunch with, you worked side by side with, you went to ball games together, whatever your social activities were, you interacted with these people on a daily basis and you built up a camaraderie, et cetera. Well, now then you're told that you can't trust those people. Now then you're told you must wear a mask. You can't get within 6 feet of these people. You can't assemble with these people. You can't go hang out with these people. You can't even go to a restaurant and sit down across the table and eat lunch together anymore. They might infect you. And it builds a tremendous distrust between people. And whenever the American people have reached a point that you cannot trust your neighbor, you cannot trust your fellow countrymen, you cannot trust your fellow believer at church or your fellow worker or whatever the case may be, that these people are potential enemies to you. They have the potential of harming you and your family, and they're going to kill your grandma and grandpa. And and that kind of propaganda, once it seeps into the heart of the people, I mean, this is like what happened in the great totalitarian regimes of the 20th century. This is what happened in China and Germany and Russia. This is what they do. They separate, conquer, and divide. And that's what they're doing to the American people right now. They're taking away our loyalties. They're taking away our friendships, our fidelities. They're taking away the spirit of love and appreciation that we have as a community toward one another, turning us into singular entities dependent on the state. This is a horrific, I think, a horrific experiment going on right now by these power elite that know exactly what they're doing, and they know the psychology of it. My dad was a prison chaplain for over 35 years, and I cut my spiritual ministerial teeth on the prison ministry. I was going to the prisons with my dad when I was a teenager, and I had quite a bit of experience at that point learning prison work and prison ministry. And one of the things that I learned at that time was a little bit about how the prison system works in terms of keeping discipline and so forth within the yard. And the only people within the prison system that would be isolated from the other prisoners, the public, they called it, it would be those who were the most incorrigible, those who were the most belligerent, those who were the most violence prone, the people that truly just refused to live within the framework of where they were and were a true danger to others. And then it was only after repeated, warnings and repeated attempts to try to bring this person under control without doing what I'm describing. And when, last resort, when all else failed, then they would put him in isolation because they knew the psychological, emotional damage that goes on in the human being whenever he's isolated from his fellow man. God made us social creatures. And when you isolate somebody to that degree, you do serious damage to the mind and to the heart of an individual. So even in a prison system where that you are dealing with many times career criminals and people that you just would not trust in ordinary society, even among them, the last thing you would ever want to do would be to isolate them because of the damage you knew that it would do to them. And yet, that's exactly what we are doing to our society as a whole. We are putting them in isolation. And the damage that this is doing, I mean, suicides are up, spousal abuse is up, sexual abuse is up, marital abuse is up. So these things are going to continue to increase because you are actually declaring emotional, psychological war against the minds and the hearts of the American people. And I think this is intentional, but that's exactly what's going on. If people don't realize that, then they don't realize the attack that they're under.
It's an attack on our very humanity. And I only have a couple of minutes with you, Pastor Baldwin, but I want to talk about the spirituality of this, if you can. I think people sometimes are unable to admit they've been scammed because it's just so big on one hand. Also, they don't have an understanding of evil that's large enough to make sense of things. Would you call this a work of evil? Is this a spiritual war? How would you put that in those terms, if I could ask that?
Yes, I don't only would, but I have, and I've said that from the pulpit, that this is evil. This is demonic. I sense that from the very outset of this. I felt the presence of the demonic forces at work. This is a demonic attack as much as it is an economic attack or a freedom attack or political attack or any way of you want to define it. This is, at its heart and soul, a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual attack against the church. I mean, I think it was a spiritual attack against the pastors and congregations or churches. How would they respond to this? Would they be the light of the world? You know, would they stand up with conviction and truth and be a rallying point for the people and give them hope and give them courage, etc.? I mean, this is what our job is as men of God. This is our primary responsibility at a time like this. We are called on to be that man of courage and that man of faith to bring a community together and to bring them to a plane of courage and conviction that ordinarily they would take for granted except at a time like this. But they failed the test. They went and hid like everybody else. They closed their doors. They shuttered their houses of worship. They went into their houses. They shut the doors, and they hid. And they were no longer the beacons of light and hope and faith that God required them to be. And as a result, a spiritual darkness, I believe, has fallen over the country. And I think it's feeding the entire operation. It's giving its power. And you can just sense the evil of this. So I have no hesitation whatsoever to say this is a demonic evil attack against our people.
And just with about 30 seconds left or so, or 60 seconds, what do you think we should be preparing for? What are some things that Christians or anyone with awareness should be doing now?
Well, we should be communicating with one another. We should be educating everybody that we can, and I think the most important thing we should be doing is we should be calling our churches and our Christian brethren to action, and we should not allow our pastors to cower in fear and to lead us in retreat. You know, this is a time that we must go forward. This is the time that we must show faith, that we must show courage. If the Christian community doesn't do it, and if the pastors don't do it, how in the world can we expect unbelievers to do it? Even though many other unbelievers are doing it, that's the amazing thing. That there are people that are not people of faith necessarily that are standing up to a greater degree than people of faith are. What a shame! But that's what we need to be doing. We need to be rallying the pastors and the churches and the people of faith to a position of courage and strength. And if we don't do that, then they are going to continue to separate us and isolate us. The old divide and conquer strategy is being played out, and if we don't stop it, it's going to destroy us.
Pastor Chuck Baldwin, Liberty Fellowship Church, Kalispell, Montana, libertyfellowshipmt.com. Thank you for your ministry and for your courage. You're a beacon for us in these times.
Thank you, John, very much.
And you've been listening to Progressive Spirit. You can find my podcasts at johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com. Be safe, be well, be attentive.